We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
LeBron James treats his body like a temple.
Yes.
I treat mine like a bowling alley.
But you would say you like to umph me, so I just umphed you back.
And we'll welcome you into the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy Mack, John Chuckery. It is, wow, everybody's just throwing hands up in the air and just getting ready for, you ready for a Monday, Randy? I'm ready.
I'm all in.
That walk, I'm talking that talk.
I'm all in. All in for Monday. Right. You and your bright red shirt.
That's right. There. Well, it is the Riggs and Murtaugh of the radio back together.
Oh, we're back. We're bad. You're black. I'm mad.
Hanging out with you until 2 o'clock today. Hey, don't forget, we're streaming online. Go to 929thegame.com. Listen to the show live. Don't forget to get all your radio replays there of the shows. Radio.com app. Mark, I think you put that on your tablet, your phone, your boombox, your Walkman, whatever that you need out there. Make sure you download it. So if you're out and about, you can listen to the show anywhere on the go. Social media, all of it is at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think we have MySpace, Match. We got a lot of stuff. eHarmony. So we got all that for you at 929 The Game. He is on Twitter at RandyMack81. I am on Twitter at JMCH316. Always the best way to interact with the show if you want to reach us. We also have our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. Plenty of stuff to get into today. Randy and I hanging out with you today and tomorrow. So lots of good stuff on a fill out your bracket Monday, Randy, as Selection Sunday last night. And you and I were talking about this, and actually it kind of played pretty close to what you and I talked about from the number one seeds. The ACC got three,
right.
And you and I both said that I don't know how you leave Gonzaga out of the number one. I know Jay Billis was a guy talking about maybe Gonzaga not being a number one seed, and you know, some of their resume wasn't as good and they didn't win their conference tournament or whatever, but 29-2 still 29-2, and they've been, you know, number one, number two, number three all year long in the country, so I just didn't see how you couldn't have them as the number one seed out west.
I mean, you can't dummy away the record they had. They had a slip up in their conference tourney against St. Mary's, but they've been one of the most dominant teams. They are the only team that has beaten Duke when they had all their horses. I mean, they got an opportunity to do some damage. I think they probably are in the weaker of all four of the brackets, but yeah, I mean, the four ACC teams we talked about yesterday on our show. I said I think North Carolina is going to get it now. Tennessee kind of made it more, you know, definite.
Oh, yeah. That was easy.
Yeah, they made it a little bit more definite. But
yeah, I mean, if they lose on a buzzer beater, Randy, maybe it's one thing. But,
right.
Yeah, they got whipped.
They got pushed
yesterday.
Around.
Yeah.
And we both know. That was personal.
That's personal.
Yeah, that was personal. Coach Pearl, he took it personal.
Yeah, that was a personal statement. So we'll get into plenty of tournament talk today. Of course, congratulations to Georgia State as they win the Sun Belt Tournament yesterday, Randy. 14 seed, which kind of, I thought maybe like 11.
I thought 10. Yeah. I thought 10 at least.
Yeah, I thought maybe like 11. And Brian, our producer yesterday, was talking about, he was saying possibly like 13, 14, and they end up with a 14 seed. I'll be honest with you. I know everybody's like, oh, you know, they can beat you. That's not a good matchup.
Houston?
Yeah.
No, and Houston's mad because they wet the bed yesterday in their conference championship game also. So they're a little salty. And, you know, Coach, you know, they're veteran-led. And there's a team that, you know, our guy Deshaun's been talking about under the radar, this Houston squad. But, I mean, congratulations, Coach Hunter. If you started watching the game at the beginning, it didn't look good. They were playing a little sloppy and everything. But eventually their talent took over and they were able to get that bid.
Here's the final
5 seconds to go. Chisholm dribbling into the front court up to James Wall. Wall gets fouled as the buzzer sounds. That's your ball game here in New Orleans. Georgia State has beaten UT Arlington 73-64, and the Panthers are going dancing for the second consecutive year.
Slow start, but they got it rolling. They were down like about 4 or 6 early on, but got it rolling. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, UT Arlington, if you look at their overall record, wasn't very good. They were actually good. They were actually only one game off in conference. They were 12-6 in the Sun Belt this year, but overall they were, I think they were like 5-9 or 5-10 outside of the Sun Belt. So good for Georgia State. I mean, thank God somebody from the state can represent.
Because they've been the best team in the state for a little bit now.
Yeah, I was looking through, like, we're going to talk about Tech and Georgia. I was looking through the NIT and the CITs and the MITs and the DYIs and all that. I didn't see any of those programs in anything. I don't think they're even like the Y. I don't think they got invited to the YMCA
invitation. They didn't. No, they're fishing. Yeah, they're getting ready for finals.
Yeah. Charles and them already put them on a fishing tour.
They're getting ready for finals. That's all that is. The players are getting ready for their finals.
Oh, Lordy. So it should be a good tournament. Obviously, is this kind of like one of your favorite events? I mean,
it is what it is. I mean, I watch college basketball throughout the year. But we always talk about it. It's not like it was growing up when all the players, you would know them more than, you know, because they would be there 2 and 3 years, so you get a chance to know those guys. But, yeah, this is the best time because I think, you know, even if you don't watch a lot of college basketball, this thing in front of me, this bracket, I mean, even, you know, the guy that may watch one game, he'll just get there just to fill it out. So around the country, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I'm more about the Final Four than I am like day one, day two. I mean, I'm not one of those guys like – I need to miss work to go see day one, day two, or something like that.
No, but I love day one because of the upsets and all that. I think that's the best part about the opening weekend. But at the end of the day, what do people want to see? They want to see the Blue Bloods.
Yeah,
they
want to see the heavyweights.
You want to see the best teams in the country vie for a championship. But, I mean, in recent memory, you've seen these upstarts. They just find a way to grind it out and get to the Final Four. I had no problem with Butler going back-to-back. I mean, I love it. I love them going back-to-back.
Listen, if you win 4 or 5 games in the tournament, you deserve to be there.
Right.
I mean, sorry, but, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, you can't be mad at Butler if you win it, you know, you win 5 games. That's what I love about the Final Four. Look, you got teams that just won 4 tournament games to have to get to that point. You can't dumb your way to 4 tournament wins.
I mean, look at what Oregon did. Oregon had to win 4 games in 4 days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they were able to beat the number one seed in the Pac-12, Washington.
They got in. Washington found a way to get in.
Found a way to get in. That's, I mean, it's rough on them streets for the Pac-12. In football and basketball, it's rough on the streets.
And Larry Scott's got every excuse. The commissioner of the Pac-12, he's got every excuse imaginable he's throwing out there.
What can you, what kind of excuse
Lynn Swan
can you
said
get,
he's all
terrible.
Blindsided. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, they got a lot of issues going on. They've got issues beyond just their athletic programs that are going on.
USC is
USC, UCLA. It's a lot of shenanigans going on out there. Well, yesterday at Mercedes-Benz,
Yeah, that's all. I mean, And I mean,
shouldn't we have this? I tweeted this out last night. Shouldn't we have more than 2 points versus Philadelphia and Cincinnati?
You think so? You would think so, especially considering coming in. Philly, they were struggling also. They were struggling to score.
They scored 5-1.
And it was 1-1, but it's just, I mean, are we just going to, you know, chalk it up to tired legs and all that, and they get some time off, and hopefully they can work some stuff out. But, and then you saw the attendance. I mean, they were like, it was like under 50.
Yeah.
And that surprised me because, you know, even if you're a casual soccer fan or not a soccer fan at all, what United did was they brought you in with that excitement and everything, and that's why the casual fan was there. Now it's like, I mean, you know those loyal supporters. You know they're going to be there, and no problem at all. But, if Barkle doesn't have that header, and then, you know, my man Miles Robinson makes the play. He makes the play of the game.
That's the play of the year for Atlanta
United.
If he
doesn't make that play, they're losing. Losing. So, it's ugly.
Here's the one bright spot. Barkle did score yesterday.
Over to Gressel in the far corner. Here's his cross. Barkle hits it. Score! Beautiful team goal by Atlanta United to pull even in the 70th minute.
I haven't completely jinxed him yet.
You ruined his career. You and that damn song.
And he had to go with the beach blonde hair look to get in everything.
You have ruined his career. I mean, but no,
he's having to change hair colors just to get back on track.
But, yeah, I mean, you look at the last two matches that he's played in. He didn't start this one, but he's been active, and that was just a great play. And then, you know, PT and Joseph, they're still off a little bit. That was a heck of a cross by PT that Joseph just, you know, he just hit over the crossbar. But yeah, we're gonna chalk it up to 7 games in 24 days, and then let's see, they get a couple weeks off before they got to play Columbus.
I hope that's all it is.
It better be.
I mean,
it better.
They got a lot to work. They need to do a lot of work over these next few weeks while they're getting these breaks and stuff. Reality is, Randy, next week they ain't gonna have a lot of guys around because they're all going off to their national teams.
Yeah, which is an honor and everything. But yeah. I'm going to chalk it up to just tired legs and let them find a way to get some time off, get some training in, you know, let Frank DeVore try and figure out how to use these guys in his system, because right now it just seems like it's his system. They want to possess the ball, but they're not doing that when they're possessing the ball.
Right.
You know, and we've been used to, because from a baby they were, you know, they had us all excited with the way they played, but now it's stagnant. It's not what we're used to, and I don't think anybody likes it. I mean, it's just, you're not using your personnel to the best of its ability.
Here's manager Frank DeBoer after the game talking about it.
1-1 is a very disappointing result for everybody who loves Atlanta United. But still, they can also be proud, you know, for the team who, you know, straightened the back also when they were 1-0 down and tried to force at the end, you know, the winning goal. And
Randy Mack, John Chuck, Ring the Keys Studios, talking about Atlanta United.
I don't want to hear that, man. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
How do I say this? I'm starting to get tired of his press conferences already.
Nobody wants to hear that, man.
Yeah, I'm getting kind of frustrated. I'm just getting kind of frustrated when I hear him talking about this team.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that, man.
Yeah,
you know. And I mean,
after the game, I heard him, and he's like, "Well, you know, we didn't play well the first 30 minutes, but we kind of owned the last hour." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't, you know,
nobody wants to hear that."
It was 1-1.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, and they'd been outscored Philadelphia in their two MLS games, 5-1. So they've given up multiple goals in both of their games. And we keep just kind of waiting for that moment for Atlanta United when it's like, boom, it all just – I mean, I'm waiting for PD from about 33 feet out to just put one in net. Yeah. And you know what I mean? You're just waiting for, like, this explosion.
They had that moment up at Kennesaw. I mean, that is what we were used to seeing, how that squad attacked. And you saw the Monterey game. They made adjustments, and they look like their old self. And they beat Monterey, and it's been years since an MLS team has beaten Monterey. So they have shown. You have seen sights of the old Atlanta United team, but overall, it's more or less, all right, let's possess the ball, let's just kick it around, you know, and then we'll figure it out. But until you're two top dogs, they figure out how to get it together. And because one thing we know about Yosef, he's gonna bring it every second of every game.
Yeah,
I mean, he's always going
to play. No, and I like the way you saw. They were doing a much better job, I thought, Randy, of trying to set him up, you know, and trying to get it to him. But they just, without that kind of general that Almiron was on the field, they just don't look like they have a guy who just is going to take the ball and run with it.
Well, they don't have that guy. And you look at what PT does. When you see him with the ball at his feet, he is amazing. I mean, he gets busy with that, but – you missed, like you said, you missed that point guard, that floor general that you had in Miguel. Because the one thing about Miguel was you kick the ball and he just goes and gets it. He just outruns everybody
to the
ball.
He outruns everybody.
And you just don't see that explosiveness right now with this team.
Yeah. So Atlanta United, you know, they're going to get – they play what? Is it next Sunday? They've got 10 days between games, and then they have like
– 2 weeks or something
after
that. 2 weeks
or something like that, yeah. But as we said, I mean, you're going to have some of the guys that are getting called up to the National. Pete's been called up. Joseph's been called up. So, I mean, they got guys that are not going to be around. But, boy, these next few weeks, while you've got a chance to get some training, because that's been part of what they've said, too, is that they haven't had – I mean, it's almost like you can't have it both ways. This is what, their sixth match already that they've played?
Yeah.
Right?
Seven.
So, I mean
– Yeah, six. Yeah,
six.
Yeah.
So, you played three MLS games. You've had the three CONCACAF games that you played. Well, four.
No, four. So, four. Right, seven.
Yeah, seven. So, it's not like, Randy, at this point, they haven't had some time. I understand it's been a lot in a short amount of time. But on one hand, I'm hearing, well, they need to practice more. But at the start of the year, it was they need to play more games. Well, which one kind of is it? I mean.
Because we saw that, at the first match together, they didn't look good. So, we're saying, oh, they need more practice. But then when they get to the – we're trying to make excuses for them, and they don't need our excuses. If you look at them, they look tired. They look like they look like all
now, there's
those
some
games,
heavy legs out there.
There's some heavy legs out there. That's why I'm saying, hey, but you said it. Okay, they got this break. If they come back looking the way they did, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
It's a big, big
problem. Yeah, and they still got some good teams to play. Hey, when we come back, thank goodness for Georgia State, but are we going to get back to Georgia or Georgia Tech even being relevant in the college basketball world? Is that Georgia Tech brand dying very quickly? Randy and John Chuckery in the Kia Studios. After CBS Sports Minute.
I feel like we competed hard. It came down to free throws and just opportunities we didn't execute on. That really kind of bit us towards the end of the game. But I feel like everybody gave it their all. We played hard, and none of us didn't want to stop playing basketball today. Coach definitely didn't want to stop coaching us today. At this point, man, we've got to move on and just look forward to the future.
Georgia basketball, Jordan Harris bringing us back in. Randy Mack, John Chuckery, hanging out with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from the Kia Studios. Oh, Randy, I wanted to mention, we were talking yesterday about my stack that I did. You know who turned me on to that product?
What's that? Well, Wendy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And, yes, it is good to see the Miss Wendy, yes, Adams back in the house.
Good morning,
the glass.
Good morning, good morning.
Yes, Mark and Wendy back behind. But, yes, guy, yeah, Wendy, yeah. I got another,
good to see you too.
I got another order of your Lipodrine in because I used it before. And it
you
was
like it.
It, well,
don't do that.
It wasn't on Amazon. I had to go to like Bangladesh, I think it was, to get it and bring it in. But I decided to go, Mark, back to like my 28-year-old days, the steroid infused Chuckery days, that I did the two of the Lipodrine, two Excedrin, and a cup of coffee, did the aspirin, caffeine, ephedra stack. I was driving to the gym like this at 7
no
o'clock
doubt.
In the morning.
Yeah.
I was wired.
Yeah. Don't tell me look good, okay? Because he really
wired.
Feeling himself lately.
I was
day.
I was wired.
He's wearing tight T-shirts and stuff now, so yeah.
I was wired.
Yeah, he's yeah.
If you're buying your supplements off the dark web,
you should.
You got a problem.
Take a step back a little bit.
You got an issue.
Like it was delivered. It was delivered to me on a rickshaw. I mean, it was that. I mean, that kind of backdoor.
Mine comes in tomorrow. So
does it? Yeah,
yes.
It's great stuff.
If
it's
Amazon delivers it by a drone, and as soon as it drops a package, the drone explodes.
Let me tell you,
that's not a good sign.
Even Amazon just took it off their web page altogether. Like I couldn't. Like I had to have my mom order it the first time because she's got all the Prime. I couldn't even find it on Amazon.
Now you're putting your mom? Like,
you're putting your mom in your craziness?
Yeah. She's got the Amazon Prime account. I don't do all that stuff. That's the first time I've ever ordered. I wouldn't have ordered it from there if I didn't have a gift card for it.
So have you ever said the phrase to your mom, there's a cop behind us, hang on to this bag?
No, she's down in Florida, so we're in different states. So she's good.
Just send it to her house.
I mean, she's down there in Fort Myers with the syndicate, so it's all good, man. So everything got shipped up, and I was wired. I was definitely wired. But, yes, Wendy Adams is responsible.
You're going to nap like a champ this afternoon.
No, I got to go back to work. Oh, this afternoon is what I got to do. So, anyway, Randy McMichael, we talked about congrats to Georgia State as they get into the tournament, taking on Houston, 14-3 matchup for Georgia State. But, you know, the other two local teams, Randy, it's been
– yes.
It's been not good. You realize Georgia Tech, go back to the 89-90 team – that was in the Final Four, national semifinal team. You realize they've only been above 500 in conference twice?
That's unbelievable.
One of those was the team that lost the national title game to UConn.
03-04.
Yeah, and then they were 13-3 in 95-96 in one of Bobby's last 3-4 years. That program has fallen off the map. And I think you and I both believe either Josh Pastner's got to get it together next year, especially with all this other nonsense going on and the sanctions and coaches being named. I know he's not named,
but
you can't have that swirling around your program.
No, and he's at a point where they can maybe use this because this is the second time now that he, even though, like you said, he hasn't been brought up, his name's not in or whatever, but I believe that the head coach, you should be in control, all your coaches, whatever.
Yep.
Now, he was sold to the masses here in Atlanta, Georgia Tech people, that he was a great recruiter, which he did. He's proven where he's been before that he can get these kids into school. He just ain't got them here. And it's just been after that first year, they go to the NIT, we're thinking, hey, Georgia Tech might have something. And then it's just been two mediocre years after that. I say it all the time. I remember growing up, I was a big Georgia Tech basketball guy. I mean,
is their brand, are they a dead brand right now?
Right now, yeah.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
I mean, and I know you're a Georgia guy, but there's no question about in this town for a long time.
It was Georgia Tech basketball.
Georgia Tech basketball was a brand. I mean, because you got to remember, the Braves were really good, you know, through the 90s, but Falcons were very hit or miss.
Right.
Obviously, no United. You know, the Hawks, everybody looked at it was like, I mean.
They'll get the six seed.
Right. Yeah. And they're not going to go anywhere. They were a sexy brand. Going to McCavish and when Duke would come in or Carolina would come in. That was an event in this town. Those were events in this town that you looked forward to. Now it's like you're going for every reason but what Georgia Tech is.
Yeah, and he was sold that he can recruit and get these guys. And we know that, you know, there is a lot of young, good basketball players here in this city that should be, you know, wanting to go to Tech. We talk about Coach Collins and the football team. He's making it cool to go to Tech again.
Right.
You know, he's selling this city as, you know, as a recruiting tool, because we had fun with the whole scandal about, you know, the kids going to strip clubs and all that. It's Atlanta. Use what you got.
Right.
I mean, Atlanta got some legendary, you know, shake joints.
Use it. You tell me what they're doing is any worse than what's going on. Like, you know, Southern Cal putting out millions of dollars to
put kids on water polo teams that aren't even – I mean, like, if you don't think college basketball is the dirtiest business that
is. It always has been and always will be. You think because Pitino got caught, the bag man, it'll never stop.
Right. Well, what did I tell you about Louisville? You think they're going to let their brand die?
No.
They're not going to let their brand die. Now, go out to Athens. We know that Tom Crean has got Anthony Edwards, five-star, who you said you saw a mock for next year.
Yeah, I saw a mock for next year's NBA draft, having number one.
Wow.
Yeah, having number one.
He's got a 4.5-star kid coming in. He's got another 4-star that they signed last week coming
in. Christian Brown. Then you got Jaquan Walton from Alabama and Tumani Kamara. All of them, you know, they got four of the top 100 ESPN guys.
Right.
And they're all the same type of player. They're wings. They're 6'4 to 6'6 guys, long arms, can defend. But what we talk about with these guys, Anthony Edwards, he's likely going to be there 1 year.
Uh-huh. So what do you got to do when you only got 1 or 2 year guys?
You
got
to win.
Yeah.
You got to win because that if you're winning with these guys, then the other young players in high school, they see that. They might want to come. But right now, I mean, Georgia, I hate to use the excuse because it's a football school. I mean, they need to upgrade stuff up at UGA when it comes to the stat. Stegman needs to be upgraded. It's real. It's old-fashioned. They need the weight room. They need to do some stuff because what do we know about a lot of these kids nowadays? It's all about the eye test, the eye candy. Ooh, you got a slide here. Ooh, look at the locker room here. Ooh, look at the lounge and all that stuff.
Georgia, TV monitors, you know what I'm saying? Locker room.
Georgia's got, you know, you go to the Budsman where the boys play, it's unbelievable. It's gorgeous. They got a beautiful football building. They need to take some of that and put some of that effort up there for Stegman.
Yeah. Randy Mack, John Chuckery in the Key Studios, as we're talking about the two local teams college basketball-wise. There's no reason why, to me, Randy, especially in this state, that Georgia can't be like what programs like Michigan or Ohio State or Michigan State or, you know, I know Florida State's football team is down now.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida. I mean,
LSU now.
There are plenty of examples where schools can be good at both schools that are traditional football schools.
Right.
Look, you're never going to replace Michigan or Ohio State football brand, but their basketball brands have been very good at times for those pro. In today's world, it's unrealistic to think you can't have the best of both worlds.
I agree. And that's why I said, you got to put the effort. And you look at Florida basketball, and I'm just talking about in this area right here, they put the effort into it. And then also Florida has won national championships.
Yes.
You know, so they have that, you know, they're a little bit more relevant. We know about Kentucky. We're not even going to compare Kentucky basketball to Georgia basketball. It's all about the tournament. You got to get in there some way.
Right.
And when you have this collection of talent, these young guys, because I know it puts Georgia probably in the top five as far as national recruiting this year.
Oh, sure.
When you got this kind of class, you got to win. You got to win, and you got to – I mean, it's just not about, you know, getting to the SEC tournament. You got to compete while you're in there. They were, 2-16?
2-16.
2-16 in the conference this year.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And one of those wins was against Florida.
Yes.
They went down to Florida and beat Florida.
Because remember, I gave up on them. Yeah. And then they go down and beat Florida. And then they come back.
Then they come back and they score 14 points in the first half against Missouri. They lost to Missouri twice in like a week and a half.
Well, at least they put up a better effort the second time. Because I told you the first one, I looked at the score. I was like, hold on. It's halftime, right? No, that was the final score.
No, you thought the football team was playing because they only scored two touchdowns in the first half.
You got to be kidding me.
How do you score 14 points in one half of a college basketball game?
Okay, they're one of the worst teams at late game situations. I don't know how many times they got the ball to win the game, and then the ball fumbles off somebody's leg. I mean, that's just, you know.
So if I ask you what should be some expectations next year, I think Georgia has to be a NCAA tournament team.
Yes.
If you've got Edwards coming on campus and he is, I don't care if he's three quarters of what everybody projects him of, Randy. You only need one or two guys in college basketball to find your way into the tournament.
Yeah, but the biggest thing, Jordan, you need some bucket getters. You know what I'm saying? Just a guy, give him the ball and let him go get buckets. And this young man, obviously, he can do it. And with the other three kids, and I mean, Coach Green, he's a good basketball coach.
Yes.
Let's not get it twisted. He's a very good basketball coach. But he's got to do something with this talent that he has. Because if, say, for instance, he has all this talent and they stink. And they don't make the tournament. You think somebody else going to come?
Yeah, I got news for you. So they go from 2-16, and let's say they're 6-12.
That ain't good enough. No.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an improvement to tell me that they won a few more games. If you're going to bring in top-flight kids, you have to capitalize while they're on campus because
they're not there long. They're a semester and a half. Yeah. They're for a semester.
Just let me just get eligible to spring, and that's it. That's all I got to do.
All right. I got to go to class. Yeah, man. Yeah. I got to play.
Yeah. If I can just get to January and get eligible, when I go on Christmas break, am I eligible? Am I still? You know, I've taken basket weaving. I've done what I've got to do.
I've done mud clay forming.
I've done everything I can. Pottery. I mean, I've got it all.
I'm majored in eligibility, man. Just there.
Now, I will tell you, you know, Josh Pastner, I think, given all of the things surrounding the bad pub about the program, I think he's really even forced the hand of Tech from the standpoint of you can't keep losing and have all this kind of stuff going. And I'm not telling you that the seriousness of it, it's the PR aspect of
it.
Like,
right.
If you're going to cheat, or you got to do these things.
You got to win.
Be good.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, if you're going to – look, I'm all for it if you want to take kids straight. Fine. But go win some games, man.
Yeah, don't be wasting dollars.
Don't be 4-12 in conference. Go win some games.
And you're wasting dollars. And when I was in school, we knew when Herrick got there. We were all excited when Herrick got there, when Herrick got to Georgia.
But you knew in 3 years.
But we knew what was going to happen
right,
when he left.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, in 3 years, it'd be a wiregram that popped up somewhere.
We knew what was going to happen.
It's okay.
But it was fun going to Stadium and watching them play.
Was that team not tons of fun?
They were good.
Jonas and Jarvis and everything. That team was tremendous to watch.
But
then they're protesting on Dr. Adams' front lawn.
We don't pay players here.
Yeah. Okay. Go get them, Vince. All right. They say 1 in 5 Americans fills out a college basketball bracket. That's a big number. We're going to talk about the tournament, give you our thoughts and some of our picks. Randy Mack, John Chuck, we're hanging out in the Kia Studios today. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
And, you know, we got up early, had to get treatments. You know, it felt great because we woke up ACC champions. And now we're on to the big tournament. Let's do this.
The manster, Zion Williamson, bringing us back in. Probably the national player of the year in college basketball.
Easily.
Yeah. Was dominant in the ACC tournament. Randy Mack, John Chuck, be back in the Kia Studios with you. Hey, don't forget, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line where you are welcome to interact with us. Also, two college basketball fans, don't forget, you want a chance to win $1,000? Go to the contest page at 929thegame.com. Sign up for our 929 The Game's March Bracket Challenge. Choose your team's advance, and a participant with the best overall bracket going to get a $1,000 Visa gift card. Are we allowed to enter and all that? I mean, I'm kind of a fringe employee.
I checked the rules.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like, I sort of, like, am here but not here.
I'm just saying,
I'm not on the intercom radar. I mean.
How we're going to make a come up is that you let somebody that is related to you do it, but have a different last name. That's all.
Oh, so my 10-year-old could.
Man, if they got to do that big a background check over $1,000.
Yeah, really. And it's a gift card. Maybe they just go to Kroger and grab it real quick. Sign up now and pick your bracket on the contest page at 929thegame.com, and maybe you could be the winner. So, of course, Randy, yesterday, Selection Sunday. Don't forget, we are your home for all things of the NCAA college tournament. We got action on our station, 1380, WAOK. We got a lot of stuff going on here. So if you're looking for all of your radio coverage of the NCAA tournament, we got it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and our sister stations, our partners along with us. I don't know, Randy. I'm not disappointed, upset by what I see with the top teams and in the brackets. I mean, it's hard to argue. We knew Duke and Virginia.
Right.
We said yesterday on our show, Duke was going to be the number one overall seed. No surprise there. We still thought Virginia was a lock for a number one at that point. You and I thought Gonzaga was for sure going to be a number one, despite what some people wanted to throw out with resumes on. Hard to argue about. They've been the best team out west this year in college basketball. Maybe North Carolina, but everybody's been talking about North Carolina and the way they finished down the stretch about being a number one. So
it wasn't any surprise. I think the some of the outrage or whatever you want to call it this morning I was listening to was about Michigan State. You know, being in the Duke bracket, they thought it should be in a different bracket. Other than that, but yeah, I mean, hey.
Okay, but by the time. Okay.
That's pretty much it. And then, you know, NC State didn't get in. They're talking about their AD in a letter.
Listen, when you're telling me about win zip stats and
if you got to use that to, you know, to prove your point or something like that, why you got shafted, dude.
They had a guy on their bracketology show on ESPN last night, Randy, that had been on the committee, and he started explaining these win merits and things like that. Honestly, I went to my toolbox, took a hammer, and I started smashing myself in the head because I'm like, Dude, this is the most – you thought the RPI in the old days was like the most confusing thing in the world?
Yeah.
What this guy was trying to explain to me about win shares and things like that, I'm like, dude, just pick the 64 teams and let's roll. NC State, yeah, okay. You know what? You know what I said to NC State? Don't lose on your home court to Georgia Tech.
That could help. That could help.
Don't lose late in the year to Georgia – hey, to Georgia Tech. You lost on your home court.
At Buzzbeater. Wasn't it the Buzzbeater game? Like the Buzzbeater dunk? I think that might have been it. But no. Again. And then I heard they were talking about they did the bracket. They had pretty much the whole bracket, all the stuff done Saturday. But they were just waiting, you know, for the Michigan State game. Yeah. I'm like, why don't y'all move that game up so you can have all day Sunday to sit there and look at that and think about those teams and where they should be slotted. But just get over it, dude. All right, go have fun in the NIT. All right, get your NIT banner or whatever they put up there and just move on from it.
And by the way, if you're Michigan State, you're not going to see Duke to the final eight. So it's not like you're going to see Duke in the next round. If you got Duke, you get him in the final eight. You'll be playing them for the chance to go to the final four, Randy.
It just seems like they're whining because they're scared of Duke. That could be it. It's hard.
Would you be?
Yeah. It's hard for me to see somebody beating Duke. We know about their shooting woes sometimes. I think the only way you're going to beat them if of course, if they're shooting bad, if you get Zion in foul trouble. If you can keep him off the floor, you got a chance against this team.
Well, I will tell you, you better have your legs underneath you because if you let Duke get out and start running, they showed the other night, you get Barrett and Zion out in open space and let them start running.
Wrap.
Yeah, you got no shot. And I know the knock has been, you know, where they hit the threes and all that. If those two guys get running and they're healthy and they get running, I don't care if they go 25% from the three because you're really gonna beat because offensively and defensively, they're gonna rebound the basketball. And when Zion decides that he's going to go up and score, you are not going to stop him. I don't care what your team is or who you got down. You are not. You saw it's Carolina against Florida State. When he decides, it's time to just go get it done underneath. You're not gonna stop him.
And that's what worries me the most about this tournament is when you got a force like that they might. You might get a ref that might call those fouls, those ticky-tack fouls, because he's much stronger than the guys and he's banging them around. But I think defensively is where it's helped Duke the most because you saw that they were getting pushed around a lot. They got pushed around by North Carolina in both games without him.
Yes.
And to have that presence back in there. And for this young man, he's 80 points in the tournament.
Freshman record in the ACC, 81 points.
I mean, he looked like the best player in the country right now.
Oh, no question.
It's not a close second.
If he wasn't is it the Wooden Award that they give out for the best player? If he's not the Wooden Award winner, who is? I don't care how many games he missed. How many games he missed this year? A bunch?
It don't matter.
Okay. I mean, was anybody better when he was on the court?
No.
Randy Mack, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios. We look at early thoughts about the NCAA tournament here. All right, so Randy, give me a rundown of what you think your final four and – final two and all that. And it's subject to change. We got a few days yet.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I always write everything in pencil, you know, just in case I change my mind.
Even on Saturday, you're still writing
Saturday
in pencil.
Even on Saturday, I change my mind. But right now, in my final four, I got Duke, I got Florida State, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Now, that's funny, because I've got Duke, Florida State. I think you and I were both impressed by Florida State in that game against Duke. Look, it's not a shame to lose to Duke, and they ran out of gas. But Florida State does a lot of things really well.
They got big guys. They got long guys.
Yeah, and they pretty much controlled Virginia two nights before.
They're only a woes, just like a lot of college teams, they're shooting. Can they score enough?
But they have a lot of depth. They play 11 guys. I mean, they have a lot of depth. They have five seniors, and they play 11 guys. I think the couple of things, I like how they use their big guys where they're not afraid to just throw it inside of their big guys and let them make plays. And they've got a lot of guys they can throw at you in waves.
Right.
So, you know, when you're talking about playing two games in three, or, you know, basically two games in what, 2 days, 3 days, whatever like that, Randy, you know, they've got a wave of guys that they can keep their legs. I've got Duke, Florida State, Villanova in Kentucky. I thought Villanova looked really good against Seton Hall. I'm not going to count Villanova out. I know they're not the same Villanova team they've been over the last few years. I don't like that bracket. I don't like Virginia. I don't like Purdue. I don't like Tennessee now.
I'm going to go with Tennessee because, I mean, I've been on and off with Tennessee up and down, but I think they're playing – I mean, yesterday was – I think it was the Admirals, like you said. It was personal yesterday.
Yeah, Bruce Pearl took that personal.
Yeah, he did.
What do you think that meeting sounded like on Saturday night?
A lot of swear words, buddy. A lot of it.
Yeah.
But Villanova, I mean, they've been up and down, and when you lose the leadership and the talent that they lost off last year's team, you're going to have a couple steps back. I'm not into Purdue. I like Tennessee in this bracket. Also, a team that's playing well that we talked earlier in the show was about this Oregon team. You know, they're playing well. Four games in 4 days to win the Pac-12 title. UC Irvine, I missed me with that. But
Yeah, I don't trust Kansas State.
I don't trust Kansas State at all.
No.
So I'm looking at the other bracket. I like North Carolina until you get to Kentucky. I think Kentucky has an easier route. Because, I mean, as much as I want to pick Georgia State, I don't think they're beating Houston.
Now, does it seem like Kansas and Auburn shouldn't be 4-5? I don't know.
Well, Kansas has been up and down all year.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And they got whooped by Iowa State now.
They got championship. They got beat down.
I think the Pac-12 has been overvalued all year on it anyway. So, hey, we got opening day for the Braves coming up real quick. Let's talk a little bit about the starting rotation as things are really starting to shake out because of injuries and otherwise and other actually good performances. Randy Mack, John Chuckery, hanging out in the Key Studios today, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right.
Can't get you out of my head.
Oh, Lord.
Can't hate on Kylie Minogue. Don't disparage the good name of Kylie Minogue.
That's who this is, right?
Huh?
This is Kylie Minogue?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is she in Treadmill Music?
It's her other song that's Treadmill Music. The, what is the name of it? Love at First Sight, I think is what it's called.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Treadmill Music. This is close. It's right on the fringe, Randy. Randy Mack, John Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios with you today. Even Mark's bebopping. How can you not bebop at all this? Didn't she do this on stage with Justin Timberlake at some event or something like that? Super Bowl or something like that? Or
we got Miss Pop Culture back here.
I don't know. Didn't Kylie Minogue and Justin Timberlake do some kind of thing on the Grammys or something like that? Come on, Wendy. Supposed to help us out on all these things.
I don't think they've ever
Miss Pop Culture back there.
I think they did. I think if you look that up. Yeah, there you go.
This premium music?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Please tell me this guy to be like early in the progression, not like when you're trying to get that last heel.
No. Then we're on a Judas Priest.
Okay. So, all right. This be the warm-up
part,
right?
This gets you ready for the party. Yeah. This is when you do the first couple of shots and get ready for the party. Yeah.
Now you see why I won't hang out a lot.
You showed up Friday.
I mean, because I had to.
Yeah, that's true.
I kind of told people I was going
to
go.
Well, that's because I was working late. Yeah. You didn't have to hang out with me that long. You only had about 30 minutes with me. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, by the way, 404-741-0929. As we get, Randy, very, very close to opening day for the Braves.
Yes.
I'm ready for, like, real baseball. Aren't you ready for, like, real baseball?
I am so looking forward to this year, man.
I'll ask Mark Owens. When's the last time there's been this much anticipation for a Braves opening season?
Can't think of one.
I mean, you got to go back to the mid-90s. Like, I mean, coming off 95, 96, I mean, is that the last time that there's been a lot of buzz? I mean, because everybody knew the Braves would be good. I'm talking about there's a lot of buzz about this team.
Chipper's last season. But it had nothing to do with the
overall
team. It was the let's go Bobby Cox's last season. I think that's when there was this much fan buzz around it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, because there is a lot of buzz, no pun intended, or Georgia Tech folks out there. So, Randy, as the starting rotation starts to come to form, it looks like Julio Teheran will be your opening day starter because, you know, Bobby.
Because I jinxed it.
Well, no, because Brian Cox. I mean, no. Who's our manager?
Snicker.
Oh. Yeah. Come on, Rhino. Oh, sorry. Anyway, just saying. He'll be your opening day starter.
Right.
Because why not send him to Philadelphia against Bryce Harper and that crew?
Are we sure Bryce going to play? Is his foot going to be all right?
He got pegged the other day. Yeah, he got whacked pretty good. I don't like this whole Mike Foltynewicz thing. You start telling me about an elbow and he's out till the end of April.
Not good.
I don't like that, Randy. And I would tell you, when they tell you end of April and a guy's having elbow issues – it might be closer to Memorial Day before you see him back. And I don't know what it means. You and I both think that this had a chance to be a real breakout year for Mike Foltynewicz. You know, building off of last year, his all-star performance, you know, looking for that 200-inning guy out of your starting rotation. But, you know, now it becomes a mishmash, and now it's time for the young guys to step up.
Which young guys? The guys that live up there?
You know, all the guys that won't get rid of. The guys that are afraid.
The guys that live up there with me and Grenette. Yeah,
stripers.
Those guys.
Yeah, all the stripers up there that they're afraid to ever, you know, breathe on too heavily.
It's about time for them to get ready now because, I mean, your Folty's down. So, again, Teheran, you go Gosman. I'm surprised it isn't Newcomb. When you kind of think Newcomb should be number one?
Yeah.
Without Folty, you would think it would be Newcomb, right?
Or if Mike Soroka's back healthy, I mean, is he ready to roll?
whenever he, I don't even mention him anymore because whenever he, because that's always the line when you talk about like Soroka, is he gonna be ready? Is he gonna be ready?
Well, isn't that ready? Like all?
That's
of
all
them?
Of them, yeah. You know. And
because now the hot name is Kyle Wright.
Yes,
right. He's the hot name. He's the hot go. Can he find his way into the rotation, especially with Folty out at the very start?
He has to, don't you think?
I would think.
You would think he would have to. And Tookie, I mean, he's been up and down before.
If these guys are ready, let's go. Quit telling me about, you know, what they did with the Stripers, what they did. Okay, get out there, kid. Go get me 7 innings and 2 runs.
Come on. And if not, then go get somebody. Use that young arm that y'all are afraid to put out there and go get somebody else then. You know what I'm saying? Because if I don't think we're the only people, or the Braves are the only people in baseball that think that these young pitchers that they have up there, Gwinnett, are good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why don't you practice them and go get somebody?
Or let them pitch.
One of the two. But, I'm tired of hearing about up in Gwinnett. I know Schnick, you know, and when he was on with Andy bunking him down there in Orlando, he was talking about 33 pitchers pitched last year on the squad. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
For the team that's supposed to have the deepest pitching.
33. Mm-hmm. So you mean that could none of those young bucks stick? Nobody. Because they go out. Because a lot of them were their first time out. They pitched well.
Yeah, Tookie.
Yeah, they pitched well. And then, what happened? You send them on back.
Yeah. Go. You change from a Brave to a Striper. Yeah. I'm ready for one or two of these young guys to really start to step up. Because at some point, Randy, it's great to talk to me about prospects and have all these guys, but
right.
I'm ready for somebody to step up and give me 180 innings. I mean, I'm ready for a young guy to go in there and give me 180 innings this year.
You need that. And you know, Tehran, he had a pretty good spring, actually. Pretty good, actually. It's pretty good. But mm-hmm. I'm with y'all. I'm sick of – because it's getting to a point where you're using – because Tehran's still relatively young.
Yes.
Like a retread. Like, I know that we're –
but is he a finished product? Does he look like a finished product at this point?
As long as he's been here, I mean, what is this, his fourth opening day? You mean to tell me he still got – he isn't who he is?
I would think.
I think he is who he is right mm-hmm. now. I mean, is there another gear he can get to? He's already losing velocity on the ball.
Wouldn't that be nice if he could find it, though? Because I really thought Mike Foltynewicz is the guy who
– You and everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about a guy, 200 innings, maybe 17 to 20 wins for the staff, strikes out a lot of guys – you know, I think everything has finally come together for Mike, and then you get an elbow, and it's like, man, it just takes the wind out of your sails because, I mean, they're talking at best late April. And it's like, geez, season starts like in a week and a half mm-hmm. from now.
It's not good. That's all I'm going to say. It's not good, especially if you were counting on him, like you said. If you were counting on him to be your number one in this rotation. I mean, everybody kind of saw that last year. Is like he's taking the reins of being that guy on his pitching staff. Now, I thought it was going to be Newcomb. But at the same time, he had an up and down. But he's got good stuff.
He does.
He's got really good stuff. And he's big, big, big lefty. I mean, he has the goods to be a number one in this rotation, I think. But when is he going to take that step? Because, again, he was up all last year. He's one of those guys that we were calling for, and he got up. And yet, he didn't take that step where I thought he should be.
They need a guy. They need one of those young guys, Randy, whether it's Newcomb or Soroka or whoever. They really need one of those young guys to step up and give them 180 innings this year and really show that they're ready to break out. Because
how do you know if you don't let them pitch?
I think what part of the thing is at some point Brian Snitker's going to have to trust those guys. You know what I mean? Like he's going to have to trust that those guys can find their way out of situations, Randy. It's not all going to go perfect over the course of 6 or 7 innings.
No.
But you have to find a way to trust those guys and be willing to roll the dice on some of those guys because how else are they going to learn? I mean, if the first sign of getting in trouble after 5 1/3 and you're ready to yank them and you start going into the sad Sam Freemans and those kinds of guys, it's not developing your young guys. Let those guys get in there and develop. There's too many guys that they have at the top of that heap, Randy, that everybody's in love with to not allow them to get out there and throw it. Go out there and see what you got.
Because all we've been doing is hearing about these guys. We're curious.
It's because the entire rebuild is based around those guys.
Those arms.
Mm-hmm.
Those arms, yes, I get it.
And if you're not willing to part with them, then you better pitch them, right? I mean, if you're not going to give anybody up to go get what you think you need, then you better allow those guys to go out there and pitch. Gausman is interesting. I mean, if he's a guy who can do what he did when he came over to Atlanta.
He's solid.
Yeah, then he could be a – Yeah, I don't know if he can be, and I almost wish that they would have made a run at bringing Anibal Sanchez back.
Right.
But, you know, if he can, I'm not saying he's going to strike out guys at that kind of rate, but can he be a guy that gives you some innings and finds a way to just kind of keep things together in the middle of those young guys? I mean,
he's a solid pitcher, solid veteran pitcher. He's not a guy, he's not going to overwhelm you or nothing. He just gets the job done. Is he going to get you 20? No, no.
Who leads the Braves in wins this year when it's all said and done? Who's going to lead the Braves in wins on this staff, a starting rotation?
I'm gonna throw Newcomb out there.
If I say over under 13.5,
I'll go over.
Okay,
I'll go over.
I'm ready for him to be 14, 15, 16
I'll go over. I said at least 15.
Okay,
I said at least. I'll go over 13.5.
Okay.
And I think they need that from him.
Oh, I agree.
They need that from him. And he probably needs it for himself also.
They need one of those guys with Fulton Evich going to be down for a while. They need one of those guys that can start to eat up some innings. Because you can't continue if you're not telling me. And the thing about not having Kimbrel is as much about not just who closes games out, Randy, but it allows everybody in your bullpen to step down. You know what I mean? That
yes.
It allows Minter and Vizcaino to match up in the seventh and eighth inning.
Correct.
To where you can put the most favorable matchup and not force one of those guys in the ninth inning. Everybody gets to move down one spot and allow Kimbrel's got this. Now let's figure out. And we shorten the game with our bullpen because we can use more of our good arms earlier in the game.
Yeah, and again, you know, they don't want to. It seems like Schnick, he doesn't want the kids to go past six.
Well, you know, they've said.
Give me six good.
They've basically said, Randy, that they will go. They will rotate those guys, Vizcaino and Minter, to close games out. And I asked Gabe Byrne, he's the beat writer for the AJC, had a chance to talk with him on Friday, and I said, do you think they're okay if one of those guys doesn't emerge and lock down that spot? Are they okay just kind of rotating those two guys throughout the year as their closer? And he thinks they're okay to rotate, that's going to be kind of their role is – not necessarily looking for one of those guys. I'm sure at the end of the day, if one of those guys did, they'd love it.
Right.
But I don't think they're banking on one of those guys just grabbing hold of the closer spot and going out there and locking it down.
I don't like that.
Snicker's going to roll those two
guys. I don't
guys.
Like that. See, that's the part I don't. I don't like the rotating of closers and things like that. But if you get a Kimbrel in here, you don't have to worry about that. Like you said, they can be your setup guys or whatever. Because once you bring Kimbrel in, you know, eight out of ten, he's closing.
More than that.
You think?
Closer.
You're going to say 9 out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you it. Well, anyways, he's going to close it out.
Because, you know, his bad year was 42 saves and 5 wins.
Well.
His bad year.
And they don't want to give up the money, the years, or whatever. Is it a case of.
Is he not going to play this year?
That's what I'm saying. Is it a case that they're waiting him out? Like, okay, eventually he's going to come down off his number. Or is he out there like, you know, I'm just going to sit here firm. Somebody will eventually give it to me.
Other than his agent. We keep talking about this. Has anybody heard numbers?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
I mean, other than rumor and innuendo.
Remember the six-year deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard nothing about that.
A lot of rumor and innuendo out there. Randy Mack, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios today as we talk about the Braves and their starting rotation. I hope it's not a revolving door of these guys again, you know, like we talked about. You know, I want to see guys nail down some spots and let those guys develop in pitch. And I'm hoping now at this point, we're this many years into it, you know, I understand guys take longer at pitcher to develop than hitters and things like that. But you just feel like this should be the year because everything else is geared up toward it. Like, okay, we got Ronald and we got Freddie.
Right.
And we got everybody ready to go. We got Albies. Okay, everybody's back. All right, let's get one of those young pitchers now to take that big step forward. Just like Ozzy and Acuna took those huge steps last year.
They did.
Okay. We need one of those guys in the starting rotation. Is that Kyle Wright? Is that Sean Newcomb? Is that Mike Soroka?
I would like to see them get more credit than just competing for the fifth starter. You know what I'm saying? I would like to see that now. I mean, it's been long enough for us to know who these guys are, but yet we're still talking about competing for that fifth and final starter on this rotation. I'm not talking about on an elite pitching rotation. I'm talking about on this one right here. And you're talking about vying for the fifth starter? No, they should be vying for the second starter. That's why I think. That's why when you look at most places, they got Newcomb as a third starter. No, Newcomb should be second or first.
Here is Bobby Snitker. I mean, Brian. I mean, Brian Snitker on the young arms and their development.
So you need that depth. And I told the guys, like, somebody you might all not go north with us, but you're going to pitch here. We're going to need them all. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you try and get as many guys stretched out as you can. Because as we saw, we used 33 pitchers last year. 10 guys made their major league debut on our staff last year.
See, the expectation is different, though, now, Randy. You know, the expectation is, let's go win the division again. Let's be a playoff team and go win the division again. It sounds good, you know, last year, because nobody saw that coming, 90 wins in a division last year. So it's okay to sit there and say, we had 10 guys make their opening day, you know, first ever.
Right.
That's fine. It's not your expectation this year.
Your expectation, even with the moves that the Phillies made with Bryce Realmuto and who the Nationals are, as you look at Soto and those guys, and the Mets have gotten better, we still should expect, like, division title, right?
Right.
Shouldn't we expect that?
Right.
Because, I mean, everybody's coming back, right? And then you added Josh Donaldson to the lineup. I mean,
no, I'm not giving them a free year this
year.
Because they went and got Realmuto and Bryce Harper, doesn't mean the Braves get a free pass for what they did or did not do out there. No, I mean, you got your young guns, you got your horses. Let's go. Isn't that what they built this for? Is okay, let's go. I don't care. You can tell me it's a year early and all these cliches that we have and all that kind of stuff. But you're here, and I'm ready for them to win. I mean, how sweet would it be that you talk about how good last year was? How sweet would a division title be this year, considering that Washington, the Mets, and the Phillies all loaded up to go get you?
You got the talent. You got the talent. But again, as all of us, as anybody who watches the Braves, we all know what could typically be the Achilles heel of this team. We all know.
Well, speaking of a guy who really stepped up last year, Johan Camargo. I want to talk to Randy a little bit about his role on this club. Oh, yeah. About his role on this club. We'll talk some more Braves baseball with you. Randy Mack, John Shuckery in the Key Studios. But first, CBS Sports Minute.
High fly ball. That's belted toward right center field. And it's gone. A home run for Camargo. Number 16. And the Braves have a two-run lead.
Tim Carey of Fox Sports bringing us back in. Hey, soccer fans, don't forget, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Going to be at Carriage Kia in Woodstock coming up Saturday, noon to 2. It's going to have a meet and greet with Atlanta soccer players Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Lorenowitz. Plus, Randy, Mike Honey, and Jason Longshore are going to be broadcasting live, talking all things soccer, which is why we don't start till 2 o'clock. Anyway, stop by for the chance to win cool prizes, including an autograph Michael Parkhurst jersey.
Sounds like a nice package right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is the reason we...
Did you save that, Mark?
Yeah, that is the reason we got it.
Okay. Yeah. I hope Mark saved that what you just said. Anyway. Sure, we keep that in the archives. So, anyway, Randy, we were talking some Braves baseball about the starting rotation, but one of the guys that I'm very intrigued by... Had a chance on Friday to speak with Gabe Burns, I said, the beat reporter for the AJC for the Atlanta Braves. And you can go online, 929thegame.com. The whole interview is up there in the second hour segment. There's also a clip up there, too, of his answer when I asked him about Johan Camargo. And my question is, Randy, given the breakout year that he had last year with 19 homers, 76 RBIs, hit .272, you know, Josh Donaldson is now given that chance to play third base full time.
Right.
So what kind of role do you find for Johan Camargo? Because I feel like, Randy, he needs to play 4 or 5 days a week somehow in this lineup.
When you look at his performance, because I think he's a guy that everybody was like, where are we gonna play this guy and how much are we going to play him? I think it's equivalent to like the sixth man off the bench. He's going to be your first utility guy outside of the catcher position. He's going to be in, including the outfield. I know they said he was in doing some outfield work, him and Austin Riley in spring training. So I think that he will be a first, you know, position player off the bench. And he's a guy that if you're in a pinch and you need a starter, he's going to be the first guy you think of, I think. I really do.
He literally has played every infield position. Now, what's interesting too, Randy, is have we seen a lot of Josh Donaldson so far this spring?
They're trying to be careful.
Okay.
They're trying to get an opening day.
So, and that's my point. So, are you telling me opening day that they're going to trot Josh Donaldson out and just roll with him? Or are you going to see kind of him on, him off, you know, not an everyday player just yet, maybe for this first month.
That's a possibility, but what'd you give him all that money for? You give him all that money?
For potential.
Yeah, I mean, but again, he said it earlier in spring training. We was talking about this is the healthiest he's been in a long time. You know, this is the first time in 2 years that he's not rehabbing during a time where he can actually be getting better at his craft. They brought him in, they gave him that money, and everybody knows, and everybody's going by on the potential of him and that bat in his lineup.
Right.
And he's a very good defensive third baseman also. Let's not get that – I mean, he's a very good baseball player. When you look at Camargo and, you know, the first name when you talk about – especially the infield, well, Dansby. Can you know – because Dansby, he's been nicked up a little bit. I mean, he played all year with that injured wrist last year, finally got the surgery. He's feeling better. Looked like he'll be ready for opening day. I get all that. But when you got this young man, and he showed how special he was when they – because remember they were doing that rotating third baseman at the beginning of the season last year.
Right.
And then they finally gave it to him. He settled in. And is he the reason that Austin Riley stayed up in Gwinnett? I mean, I know he did get nicked up with the knee and everything last year, but if Camargo doesn't
– It helped.
If he doesn't play as well as he played last year,
yeah.
what are we doing at third base last year?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is Austin going to come up eventually? But I think because Austin did get hurt and that – Camargo was playing well, that it was easy to keep him up there.
You know, I think that don't be surprised, Randy, when we talk about the idea of him playing 4 or 5 days out of the week, a little bit at third, a little bit at short. Maybe Freddie takes a night off. Maybe Nick Markakis gets a night off. I mean, I think you have to find a way, Randy, to give him a shot to see was last year really Johan Camargo? Because there's a lot of questions, like you said at the start, about, okay, what is this guy?
Right.
Well, you can't dumb your way to 1976 last year. I mean, yeah. I mean, and given a chance to play full time,
he showed you what he can do.
He flourished a lot. Yeah, he flourished a lot. So, how does he go back to adjusting? Because he's too valuable to tell me he plays once a week.
Is he a type player that you might be able to get a nice haul for?
Probably not. Mm. I mean, when you say a nice haul, he'd have to be part of another package.
That's what I'm saying. Not just him by himself. Right. But I'm just saying, apart, you know, you put him in.
But we won't trade.
We're not putting nobody in a package, right? That's right. But no, when he was given his opportunity, he shined. He shined. He played well. He showed you what he can do. That's why a lot of I was so confused when they signed Josh Donaldson, because I'm like, okay, you got this hot shot prospect up north, right? And then you got this guy that's coming off a really good season. Why do you go out there and then you make him the highest paid player on your team, of all things? You make him the highest paid player on your team.
Where did he come from?
Well, he came from that place up north.
Where? Go ahead, say it.
The place up north, the six.
I'm talking about this third baseman we signed. Where'd he come from?
That's what I said. The six.
Yeah,
the six.
Oh, okay.
Toronto. I gotta hip you up there.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Six.
And
then, that's what Drake calls it.
Where's
John Checker?
All right. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't listen much drunk. I mean,
it's
whatever.
Okay, Drake.
Where's our general manager from?
He's from up that way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So, if you want the answer to the question.
But still, you bring him in and make him the highest paid player on your team on a 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And hopefully it works.
Yeah.
How would the season be based if you're talking about his production? Like, where do you see him at? What do we need from Josh this year? Because I think that he has to be better than Camargo.
Yes. I would tell you 25 homers.
Yeah, it got to be better. Yeah.
25 and 85 or 100 runs. If he's going to hit second, then I need 25 homers and 100 runs out of him.
Okay.
Score 100 runs, hit 25 homers.
It's reasonable.
Because if he's hitting second, he probably only drives in maybe 80, 85 runs, maybe at most. I mean, his RBI total won't be. Now, see, me personally, I want him to hit fifth in this lineup to where he's got a shot to drive in lots of runs.
Who are you going to put in the two-hole?
Ozzie Albies.
Okay. And then
I'm going to have Enciarte 1, Albies 2, Freeman 3,
okay.
Cunha 4,
that's what
Josh Donaldson 5.
I would love that. I mean,
Is there anything wrong with that?
I think that's what I wrote when we did our projected lineup. I said the same one.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Right.
Because
I want my 3, 4, 5 hitters, Randy, to be big run-producing guys.
How is Nick going to deal with the lineup? Is he going to leave Acuña? I think he's going to have to rotate him back and forth.
You can't. I get that Acuña likes hitting leadoff and all that. Randy, if he really is the next superstar in baseball, you got to – I mean,
you gotta
on this
3-4.
Team.
He got to be 3-4. Because on this team, he's 4.
Yeah, because Freddie's not going to move out of the 3 spot.
No.
So he's going to be your 3 hitter. So if you're telling me he's leadoff or cleanup, I want him hitting cleanup.
Right.
If he's really 35 homers and 30, I want him hitting cleanup. I want him to be a mauler in the middle of that lineup and go drive in 117 runs this year.
You're getting no argument from me.
Okay.
But he was so dynamic at that leadoff position.
I get you.
I think, and if Ender
but
does,
isn't NCR
but
tape,
if Ender does not struggle
right.
like he did last year, do they put Acuna right there?
And remember, they rolled with Enciarte a long time.
Yeah, they did.
Even with the worst OPS in Major League Baseball, they were trying.
They were like, okay, we know what this guy can do. Let's just stick with him.
Randy, he can get on base. He steals base. I still think he led the team. Mark, he led the team in steals last year, right? I think with 28, I think led the team. By the way, you know, they were fourth in the National League in stolen bases last year.
Look what they have as far as Ender and Ozzy and Ronald. I mean, they got guys that can move.
Yeah.
They got guys that can go when they get on the base.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I can have those two guys running around at the top of the order and then let Freeman, Acuna, and Donaldson just clean them all up as they get – because Freddie's going to have a high on base.
Yes.
Acuna gets on first. He can be on second pretty quick. I mean, even if he singles, he can steal a base, be on second, and now Donaldson's got a guy in scoring position too. So use that speed and let those guys drive in runs. But I think Camargo, you know, back to that, Randy Mack and John Chuckery in the Kia Studios talking about Johan Camargo. Going back to that, he's a great piece to have, but I want to see them use him. I don't want him to get kind of, well, you know, he's kind of back to once a week, twice a week. I mean, let me ask you this. If Dansby Swanson comes out of the chute 188, is he going to play some shortstop?
Yes.
Even if you have to sacrifice the glove just a little bit?
Yes.
Is it worth?
Yes, it is.
Here's the question I keep. Is Dansby Swanson a finished product offensively? Is he finished?
Well, is he what he is? This is what I'll do. I'll give him the benefit of doubt about the wrist. I'll give him the benefit of doubt about that. But if you're talking about is he going to be some slugger or is he going to be one of the a shortstop that hits for a high average and all that, I don't see that.
So is he basically, are you telling me, because this would be his finish because it's kind of what it was.
Okay.
Is he 10 homers, 50 RBIs, 250?
Yeah.
Okay, then he's finished.
No. Well, I mean, would you put him in like – I think he can be a 15 home run guy.
Oh, can he?
I think he can.
Okay.
I mean, he has the ability to be that way. Again, okay.
I know he's got the ability.
I'll put it back on the wrist thing, all right? Because I don't think a lot of us knew how bad that wrist was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a majority of the season last year that he had this. But if he struggles – and it's different when – it's different to me. It seems like it's different when Dansby struggles because of who he is. Hometown kid, number one overall pick, all those things. But, I mean.
He was the cornerstone of the trade that you made.
Yeah, it was.
He's supposed to be, like when they put the magazine cover out, supposed to be him and Freddie and Ronald on as the face of the franchise
but right there on the magazine cover.
What
you've seen is that you've seen Ronald surpass everything he's done.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Ronald just ran away with it.
Yeah, right. He's just all world.
Ozzy has ran past Dansby also.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. So, but I'll tell you this. You know, we if you want to throw it in the Austin Hooper type of category, if you told me Dansby Swanson was 15 homers, 65 RBIs, and hit 250, 260,
you can live with that.
I'd take that all day long.
Right.
And play his defense, I'd take that all day long in a Dansby Swanson. I mean, maybe that's not what people are hoping for. He's going to be 290, 300. He's going to be this.
He's not going to be that high.
But if he's 15, 65, and 250, okay, I'll take that.
He's not going to
play his defense.
Yeah, he's not going to be up in the 20s. No.
I mean,
That'd be a stretch.
Texter saying, what about, or I should say, on Twitter, asking about what if he's Ricky Henderson? Ronald Acuna. You got to be 130 stolen base guy to be Ricky Henderson. Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference.
There's not too many that did it like Ricky.
Yeah, you're talking about the guy who has the most walks in the history of baseball, right?
Yeah, nobody did it like Ricky.
Right. But
if he turns out to be Ricky, he can stay there.
Right.
Yeah, he can stay there.
But I think he's more 35 homers and 100 RBI.
You would prefer that more.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It's a staple of our show. We call it What's Bugging Chuckery. The first sign of Armageddon in the Book of Revelations. This team is favored to win in Las Vegas. You know that's a sign from God above that we could be nearing the end. I'll explain all that to you, Randy. You're all confused over there.
Yeah, please explain.
Yeah. Up next.
Oh, we're back. We're bad. You're black. I'm mad.
Oh, yeah, Jerigs and Murtaugh, the radio, back in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Randy Mack, John Chuckery, hanging out till 2 o'clock. By the way, this hour of the show brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. another way they make you smile. Is it ever going to get warm enough for AC and stuff? Man, I'm ready.
I hope
aren't
so,
you?
Man. I mean, if you look out the window, it looks like, I mean, it's beautiful the outside.
Yeah.
It's got a little
it was like 38 degrees yesterday morning.
It got a little bite. You know? Yeah. That wind got a little bite to it this morning.
Well, I make my walk a shame. Trust me, I know. Head down the road to park. Anyway, at least I pay for it, though. That's the good thing, Mark, is I get to pay for all of that. Anyway, 404-741-0929, by the way, is your Solomon Brothers Diamond text line that you can reach us and you can interact with the show on Twitter as well. Everything for the station's at 929 The Game. He's at Randy Mac 81. I'm at James CH 316, as some folks have already been tweeting at us today. Feel free to do that. But now it's a staple of our show. We call it What's Buggin' Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Randy, I haven't gone back in the Bible to check the book of Revelations, but I believe the first passage of that the apocalypse or Armageddon is coming
right.
is the fact that the Cleveland Browns are now the betting favorites in Las Vegas to win the AFC North. According to the Superbook at the Westgate Las Vegas, after all their moves with the Odell Beckham trade and such, they are now +140 favorites to win the division. Trailing behind them are the Steelers at +160 and +250. The director, John Murray, of the Sportsbook, Superbook, I'm sorry, said, quote, they have the most talented roster in the division, and they are the team the public will be looking to bet. Multiple big-name stars means public fascination, and I think they would have won the division last season had they gone with Kitchens-Mayfield duo from week one. Well, we know that wasn't because, you know, Hugh had to try to save his job, right. So that's why he paid Tyrod Taylor. Holy cow, did I read that right? They have the most talented roster in the division? When has that ever happened? I don't know if I've heard that in 47 years on this earth and been watching the Cleveland Browns since I can remember them about 78, 79, right before the Cardiac Kids and Brian Sipe in 80 and the Cyper Bowl and all that.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever heard the words, the most talented roster in the division, even when they had Bernie and all those guys. I don't think I've ever heard that before out of the Cleveland Browns. The betting favorites? That's a sign of some there's like a
– Is that eclipse. That might be a bad sign.
I for the world.
The Cleveland Browns? I mean, you look – what – Okay, to start at the bottom. Cincinnati, okay, new head coach. They still got Andy Dalton. Pittsburgh, they lost AB. They lost Le'Veon.
Oh, that's two of the top five guys in the league.
They still got Ben.
Oh,
they got
that's
nice.
Good.
Oh, they got,
they got
really
Juju.
Good, they got Juju.
Remember, Juju said, I'm ready to step up.
Juju said, I'm ready.
Yeah.
All right, everybody want to be ready when you want to be number one and see that number one.
Well, guess what?
And then you see that other safety over there.
Right. And that number one corner's coming to your side now. And okay.
You ain't doing all your dancing no more. And Baltimore, who knows what Baltimore is? I mean, they revamped the whole team, revamped the whole offense. So
they made a couple of big signings. They brought Mark Ingram in. They brought Earl Thomas in.
I would think that Cleveland should be the betting favorite, but I'm not going to bet on them because they're still Cleveland.
Right.
Still Cleveland.
Right.
I'm not going to jump all in that hype machine. Come on, man.
Yeah, I would hate to tell you, knowing the Browns, this is where Baker Mayfield ends up with his broken leg or something like that.
Don't say that, though.
I know.
Don't jinx the kid.
No, maybe that's a good sign.
But I mean, everything that you're saying about this this new Cleveland Brown type team,
dude. When I tell you that there is a ton of excitement up there,
and it should be,
you know, I interact with some of the different radio hosts up there, Ken Carmen and guys like that, Dustin Fox, who by the way is from Canton, Ohio, went to Glen Oak High School.
Nobody cares.
Anyway, well, I do.
Yeah,
I get the host.
Cares.
Anyway,
cares.
But. Those guys are all excited. I mean, they're all. Kenny Rhoda, who's at WHBC in Canton, they're all. What?
No.
Everybody's excited.
They're talking about the season tickets are being sold out, all this stuff. I mean, you look at what they did in Freedom. I mean, they went and got Sheldon Richardson, too, to go put up there with Miles Garrett. Mm-hmm. What do we say? As long as you got.
And made the trade for. Who was it?
Olivier Vernon.
Yes, Olivier Vernon.
And they're going to put him back at his natural position as an edge rusher. I mean, they got some guys. They need to upgrade the linebacker position a little bit, but they got some guys. They're able to do some things. But the reason they're able to because the three prime positions are all on rookie contracts. Your quarterback, your pass rusher, and your defensive back. They're all on they're all on rookie deals.
Yep.
So you can go out and trade for Odell Beckham. You can pay him and Jarvis Landry. You can pay Jarvis $15 million a year and pay Odell almost $20 million.
Even with Kareem Hunt out for the first eight games.
They got Nick Chubb.
Yeah. And as of right now, they still have Duke Johnson as well, although he's been rumored to be on the trading block as well. There's a lot of buzz and hype.
Now, the one team, the one player, and again, he's also a premium position left tackle. Now, they went out and got Greg Robinson last year, played well, went ahead and signed him to some new money this year. I mean, if you say that stepping in for a Hall of Famer in Joe Thomas, he did okay.
Yeah.
He did okay.
Now, well, and they gave up one of their offensive linemen in that Vernon trade, though, too. Yeah.
So if he can do it again, which Greg Robinson has not shown that he can play consistently at a high level, if they can get another good level out of him to protect Baker's blind side, they might got some.
So you're telling me not to put $100 on it right now?
I'm telling you, go put $100 on it.
Okay. Mark, can I borrow $100 to put on the Browns?
Between
the four of us, who do you think's got the wallet around
here? Oh, I know. I saw it Friday night.
How was it?
I lived it.
Amazing.
He was just throwing down cash like I throw gum wrappers down.
I was trying to show my guys a good time, man. That's
he did.
I saw it.
And we appreciate it.
And I'm trying to break that moniker that I'm cheap.
No, you're cheap. I've known you long enough now. You're cheap.
I'm not cheap. I just don't buy stuff I don't need. It's a big difference. It's a big difference.
You bought like spas and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, I need a spa. I need that
well,
stuff.
Actually, truthfully, your wife bought it. But
I needed that.
You can't attach yourself to that purchase.
Yeah, I mean, it
his
is
wife
what
bought
it. Is,
it.
It is what it is, brother. I mean,
but
I
no,
need that.
I can't believe that I'm saying that the Cleveland Browns are a favorite, a betting of all the teams to bet on. They're a betting favorite.
And this is completely different than that dream team thing that Philadelphia
tried to put together.
It's completely different.
Isn't it amazing what happens when a football guy is running football operations?
You get stuff done.
Yeah.
You get stuff done.
I mean, it ain't Ma and Pa Kettle up there just, you know, trying to change uniforms and you know, bringing in Mets analytics guys to run the team and all this kind of stupid nonsense that they went through.
Mm-hmm.
They've turned Soshi Brown into a national laughingstock, by
the way.
But
what he's done, and people are trying to give him credit, hey. Well, he's the reason they got all those draft picks. Yeah, the reason they got all those draft picks is because the ones he picked stunk. And they end up having to pick all the – I mean, there's how many times can one franchise mess up having multiple first-round picks? Only the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Only the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. And by the way, those – I mean, it's not like they were all down in the mid-20s.
No.
No, they had like 3, 6, 5, you know. They made sure if they're going to swing for the fences, that walrus, Mike Holmgren
right. –
Should have had to go down and coach that group of misfits when he drafted Trent Richardson and Bumden Wheaton.
Yes.
What a group of misfits.
But yeah. Hey.
They drafted Brady Quinn, Johnny Manziel, and Brandon Wheaton within about a 5-year stretch.
All three of those guys.
Uh-huh.
And I think all of them might have been the 22nd pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, because they actually traded with Dallas to get Brady Quinn. That was a trade that they made to get back in the first round to draft him. They traded to go get Brady Quinn.
Well, I mean, he was a quarterback out of Notre Dame, because I remember Miami. Thought Miami was going to draft, and they took Ted Ginn Jr. Yeah.
Well, those worked out real well.
What did Cam Cameron say? Wait till you see this guy return kicks.
How'd that work for that Clawson kid, Jimmy Clawson, coming out of Notre Dame?
Not good.
No. Okay. Well, when we get back, NFL free agency basically done. Now can we start to look ahead a little bit to the draft? Randy and I are going to start giving you our thoughts about the top priority for the Falcons in the first 3 rounds of the draft. It's Randy Mack. It's John Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.